On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the lacrosse team makes Columbia the city of champions once again. I recap and discuss where things stand for the men's tennis team and their tournament run, and then break down the baseball series against Kentucky. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 67 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001, and where I'm not an expert and I'm not trying to be, y'all. But just in case I do have any new listeners out there, what I mean by 1801 to 2001 is that the goal of this podcast here is to be nice, short, and sweet. And so I try to keep every episode from 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second. 1801, the founding of USC, and for 2001, A Space Odyssey. But like I always say, when I recap this, please don't bust my chops too bad if I am a little long or a little short. You never know what's going on. But I hope everyone had a lovely weekend out there. Great weekend to be a sports fan. I mean, seriously, we got, in the pros at least, you got playoffs, you got game sevens. It felt like every night of the weekend, even during the day, you got playoffs. If you're a baseball fan, you have college baseball, you have the pros going on. It's just so much fun. And then, of course, we had a very fun series for Gamecock baseball. Going to get into that in a little bit. But then even outside of that, you had a lot of fun things going on for Carolina Athletics. And for a few lucky individuals, they got to attend the first ever Beamer Ball. For those of y'all who don't know what I'm talking about, looks like the football program, they held some sort of gala, if you will, a ball, and they called it Beamer Ball, sort of to play off of that idea of Beamer Ball. And it was held inside Williams-Brice. Looked like dinner, dancing, drinks, fireworks, the whole nine. It looked really, really cool. So awesome to see the football program and Shane Beamer continue to think of new and unique traditions to start and new and unique ways to engage the fan base and the community. Now, again, I don't know who the hell was invited to this thing. I don't know if it was just Gamecock Club members or head of alumni associations. I'm sure there was a donation aspect tied to this, but I hope this was a good way to get in the best graces possible with our biggest donors. Because with NIL and the arms race that is college football, I want everyone as happy as they could possibly be. Whoever there paid the most for the table, the most for the plate, I hope you got your own fireworks. I hope you got to light off the fireworks yourself. You deserve it. As does Carolina football. We deserve all of the great things that could possibly be there. But I digress here. Got a packed episode for y'all here. We're talking lacrosse, we're talking tennis, we're talking baseball. But before I jump into things here, y'all already know what it is. I have my handy dandy daily Gamecock fact and trivia calendar here. So for y'all, here is your trivia for today. What opponent did the South Carolina women's tennis team defeat in the regular season match the final regular season match of the 2019 season, making it the first time the Gamecocks knocked off this team in 37 years. Last game of the 2019 season. Oof, I can't say I know this one, but da-da-da, University of Florida. How about that? Screw the Gators. Good job, ladies. I hope we beat the Gators every year since then. That's incredible. I don't particularly like the University of Florida. I don't particularly like any other SEC school. Really? Just the Gamecocks for me, please. It's great stuff. So going to kick things off here with electric, amazing news from the weekend here. Men's club lacrosse. Shout out Cox Lax. national champs. We are the champions. Columbia is the city of champions once again. Cox lacks to the frickin' moon. It's incredible. The team won the national championship in 2019, I believe, and now this year too. It is officially a dynasty. Officially a dynasty. And if I'm not mistaken, to my understanding, there hadn't been a tournament, a champion in between then. There was COVID and then an abbreviated tournament or something along those lines. So for all intents and purposes, Cox Lacks is your back-to-back national champions. Hell yeah, boys. Congrats. That is so freaking hype. So happy for them. Happy for all the Gamecocks. Also, their jerseys, pennies, Lacks pennies, are so freaking badass. They're black with the garnet lettering and the numbers just says Gamecocks across the chest. If there are any Cox Lacks fans, Cox Lacks players who happen to listen to my show, first off, thank you and congrats. You guys rock. But if at all possible, can you get your boy one of those pennies? Because those are so freaking sick. But yeah, so cool to see. National champs. It's a legitimate dynasty. So, so cool. I'm sure one day soon enough, you have the men's club Lacks, you have club hockey. I'm sure one day soon enough, these programs will be more on the official basis. It's a club level thing, but when you look at the teams who have their sole team in lacrosse as club, it is no joke. There are serious schools who this is their only lacrosse team, and we are one of them. And it's as impressive as any feat as I could think of. So, so cool. Way to go, guys. Now, moving over to sort of the other side of the coin to men's tennis here. Unfortunately, the tournament has come to a close for them as they lost to Virginia in the Sweet 16, ending the season for the doubles competition. Now, I was a little confused myself when I was trying to figure out where do things stand for the team. Now, there is life after death, apparently, which is always fun. I guess. It's fun in sports, you know. So what that was the loss for the team and doubles competition. Now, there's a singles tournament, which actually starts at the end of May, and we are sending two players of our own. Daniel Rodriguez has the number two overall seed in that tournament. He's very, very good. So while it stinks to see our doubles team take the L to Virginia, again, there is still light at the end of the tunnel. There is hope for the Gamecocks men's tennis program as they start their singles run towards the end of the month. So good luck to y'all who are going. Congrats on a run to the Sweet 16. That was super, super impressive. Now, the other big news out of the weekend was the baseball series against Kentucky. It was the last home SEC series of the season at home. So last home full series in the SEC at Founders Park. It was really nice to see. It's cool with baseball because it's a series, right? So it's not just like a football game or a basketball game where it's your last one, you have senior day. It's essentially senior weekend, but they did do a nice send-off. It was before the Saturday game where they held the senior day ceremony, had the seniors stand out along the foul line with their jerseys in a frame, their moms throughout the first pitch. It was really nice. A little tearjerker moment on a Saturday afternoon for your boy, but really nice way to have this series go, to send off these seniors, if you will, because Carolina took care of business and takes the series against Kentucky, a.k.a. Kentucky. I can't believe I dropped the ball and didn't say Kentucky once last episode. That's on me. But hey, Gamecocks take 2 out of 3 from the Wildcats. Huge series. I'm going to get into it in a little bit, break down each game, but especially for the seniors and for the fans, especially those diehards who are going game in and game out in what has been a very up and down season, some head-scratching losses at home. Anytime you can have a nice series win to close out your season at home, of course, you want to do it your season in general, but especially for your home fans, that means a lot. And it was exciting to see. The games that we won were electric. And this team is just, it's funny. You know, all you can do is kind of sit back and laugh. Last episode, it was really just like, what the heck are we going to do? The crow to the game was literally just try and win. A couple episodes before that, I'm talking about this team is totally done, nail in the coffin. And as it stands today, I really just don't know. I mean, there is some hope. I don't know. Taking 2 out of 3, it could be just shy. I put a great reel up on my Instagram. This is a shameless plug for my Instagram here, Cox Talking Gamecocks, of the Meatloaf song, 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad. 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad, y'all. Won the series. Gonna dive into each game now for y'all. Game 1, the Gamecocks won 11-3. So talk about getting the monkey off your back after a bad loss. Had a bad loss in the midweek game. You come out against an SEC school at home, a team that, despite having some momentum going in, really, when you looked at it, at the standings and the stats, should be beneath us, and you handle business right away. This was exactly what this team needed to do in Game 1. It's something that we as fans had hoped for after that strong offensive output against Texas A&M. So to see us keep that up and to score 11 runs was honestly something really cool to see. We got the scoring started right away. Got 1 in the first and then 5 runs in the second inning, really catapulted the team, and they never looked back, frankly. You know, added a couple insurance runs here and there, 3 runs in the 6th to boot, and there you have it, 11 runs. Winning pitcher for the Gamecocks was Brett Thomas, which was nice to see him on the right side of a game. Player highlights here for y'all. Josiah Seitler, 3-for-5, including a 3-run home run. I honestly, y'all, I am not sure I have seen someone in such a groove as him right now. It's like freaking Babe Ruth up there. The guy just is a hitting machine. He is a home run lightning rod. I mean, what is going on? I mean, it is incredible to see. He is in such a groove right now. And at a time in the season where, yes, the team has been up and down, but if he's ice cold, I don't know how many ups there are. Him and Brant Belk have been so clutch and so integral, is that the word? Key? I don't know. In this SEC play, back half of the season, trying to stay relevant, fighting for the postseason. So cool to see. Michael Braswell, 4-for-4 with 3 RBIs, and Andrew Eister went 2-for-5, including a home run for himself. That's right. So great start to the series there. It was really nice to see to kick the weekend off right. Brings us to Game 2, where Carolina won 7-0 in a good old-fashioned shutout. You don't always get shutouts in baseball, so when you do, it is pretty impressive. Now, the story of this game is 1,000% Noah Hall, the starting pitcher, absolutely lights out this game. I mean, he's been really good in the SEC play in general, and I've honestly become a huge fan of his, but this performance in and of itself was the performance of a lifetime for this kid. Listen to this stat line here. 8 innings pitched, 2 hits, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts. Obviously no runs given, 7-0 game. 8 innings, 2 hits, 8 strikeouts. Just absolutely dealing heat. Absolutely dealing. And I mean, there is just something so cool in baseball when a pitcher just dominates in that fashion. Just saying, you know what, guys? Don't worry. I got this. They can't touch me today. I got this. And it was incredible because sometimes when that happens, your own team might go low, get you 3, maybe 4 runs, and you win the game. We scored 7. So it was a total best of both worlds there. Noah Hall, incredible performance in front of the home crowd. Just honestly, kudos to you, man. Cam Tringali, he came in for the 9th inning, and on senior day, on senior weekend, the senior got to wrap up the game through a good 9th inning, didn't give up a run, 7-0 win for the Gamecocks. So, so cool to see. Now, outside of the pitching, clearly we had another strong offensive day by putting up 7 runs. So here's some highlights here for y'all. Brant Belk, 3-for-4 with 3 RBI and a home run. Andrew Eister, 1-for-4, 2 RBI. And that's just a nice couple of games for him. I feel like I've been saying his name more and more. You've been seeing him have more productive at-bats. Kind of like with the team itself, I feel like Eister maybe a little bit of an up-and-down year compared to last year at least. And I think that's just a byproduct of where he's sitting in the lineup. A couple guys are just not there he was getting better pitches last year, but he's still very productive. And who else am I going to list in these player highlights but Josiah Seitler going 2-for-3 again? It's just incredible. So with that, you know, Carolina, they win the series. And that brings us to Sunday, hoping for the sweep. Everyone's eyeing the sweep. You're kind of creeping towards your broom closet thinking, do I bring it out? Do I bust out the brooms? Are the vibes back for Carolina baseball? And unfortunately, no. Game 3, Carolina lost 7-1. And it felt like Carolina just, we really couldn't get it going. You know, just wasn't having the best at bats. Couldn't move guys around. Just couldn't get it going. You know, he lost 7-1. Losing pitcher was Will Sanders, but there's a big caveat there. I think he pitched well, all things considered. 7 innings, gave up just 2 earned runs. I think there was another 2 that were unearned, but, you know, that was really it. You know, 4 total runs allowed, 2 it was in that second inning, but, you know, that's it. You know, Kentucky tacked a few more on later in the game, obviously, but Will Sanders, all things considered, pitched quite well. Player highlights for y'all, Kevin Maddon went 2-for-5. Andrew Eister, he went 1-for-4 with the sole RBI of the game. And Michael Braswell, he went 1-for-3. So, I mean, look, for this whole series, it definitely was great, and it is great, for Carolina to win this series. It was huge. You absolutely had to. Kentucky, especially in the SEC, has not played that well. And you have to be able to come home where you still are pushing, you still are playing for something, and you need to play well. And it was also great to see Carolina have some nice offensive games, to see these guys scoring 7 runs. What was the first one? 11 runs? But not getting the sweep and dropping game 3 could actually turn out to be quite critical. Because now the Gamecocks sit at 12 SEC wins with just 1 series to go. Now 15 league wins is usually looked at as the magic number to hit. So you sit at 12, the benchmark is 15, and you have 3 games left in the SEC. So you got to go, and you got to get a sweep to get to 15, that is. So, I mean, we don't really want to worry about that now, right? I don't want to dive too much into it, but you see what Carolina has to do. Everyone in that clubhouse knows what this team has to do. 15's the benchmark. I saw some stat that it's the percentage of teams that make it to the postseason that have 15 league wins. Once it gets to 14, it's a big drop-off. After that, it falls off a cliff. So maybe you can get a lucky break here and there with 14, but 15 is sort of that magic number that you're looking for. So we'll have to see what Lady Luck has in store for the Gamecocks next weekend. I will, of course, be previewing that. But the next game for Carolina is a midweek game Tuesday night against Charlotte. That's the last home game of the season for this baseball season. Crazy to say. It has been so much fun following this team, as you know, especially closer, talking on the podcast. But it's crazy to say that the last home game of the season is Tuesday night. And with that, I mean, the crow to this game, in my mind, is you got to continue the high offensive output. Midweek pitching has been suspect for a lot of the year so far, so Carolina has to try and defend Founders one last time, and you have to try to do it with these bats. Guys like Belk, Seitler, Eister, Braswell, Wimmer, Maddon, guys who have had some good games down the stretch, they need to step up. I want to see Carolina score at least 6 runs, then I'll feel okay with this game Tuesday night. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram, I already plugged it, just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever it is y'all listen to. Let's go, Cox.